Hi guys. thank you very much for having me. This is already turning out better than the dream I had the night before last, because in my dream, the leadership saw the slides and cancelled the entire meeting and you all went home. So we're already ahead of the dream, which is good. I don't know how to work this slide thing. What do I do? That one. Ha, look at this. Hope you're impressed with my technological ability on these slides. Thanks to Kerry for that. this week we've had, oh yes, God's Perfect Timing is subtitled, Can Take a Long Time. My life is a good example of God's perfect timing taking a long time. We had a good example of this week, didn't we, in the Olympics. A young man of 58 called Nick Skelton, who, show jumping gold for the Team GB, and he's been to 7 Olympics before. Broken his neck, had hip replacements, all sorts of issues, and he finally got the gold. So there you are. Sometimes it can take a long time, can't it? So I was invited to speak today, having done the Ignite course. And heads up, the Ignite course, by the way, is phenomenal. You have to do it, guys. There's a daytime one and an evening one. And I kind of always knew I was going to do the Ignite course, but because I work full time, it wasn't very possible. Then they introduced the evening one, the first year I couldn't do. Finally, God's perfect timing, I could do it, but I didn't actually have the funds. I went, all right, God, if you want me to do this, give me a really clear sign. And within that week, I got a check for $350 from the gas board, which exactly covered the Ignite course for the year. So fairly good sign, so I did it. And here's God's sense of humour. I thought, on the paper, you say what you want to achieve for the year. And the one thing I avoided saying was speaking at the front. I am not doing that. Never challenge God. So here I am doing that. It's amazing. There's 4 different teachers, and there's an amazing team, which is Jan and Jill and Di and Colin and Jean, who just do, they're all different and they all bring something different to it. And what I've learned through the year was a lot more about the Bible, but also really the heart of God and that, and myself and that relationship, which is key, I guess, to everything we do, isn't it? So a little bit about myself for those that don't know me. I'm B, known as Belinda, known as Madre, known as Mum, known as all sorts of other things, even Nurse Dixon across the years. I was born in Somerset. Now I've lived in Maidenhead for over 30 years. I was in nursing for over 30 years. Now run a dementia day centre in Maidenhead. Love Doctor Who, love Shakespeare, drama, painting, bit creative. A bit scatty and not very organised, so apologies for that. Next slide. Hey. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, that speaks for itself, doesn't it? I've got loads of pages here because I've written big, so I don't have to put my glasses on. It's not really a hugely long talk. It's just so I can see, because I'm too vain to put my glasses down. And if I did that, I couldn't see you guys anyway. So now my next question. Oh, how did that? I didn't want that. Bible heroes who waited. In the Bible, there are plenty of heroes who had to wait a long time for God's perfect timing. Right, over to you lot. Shout names at me. People who waited a long time in the Bible. Abraham. Job. Moses. Hannah. Joseph. David. Sarah. Esther. Elizabeth. Excellent. And I've obviously it all came out of my own head. It wasn't Google or Wikipedia or anything else. Obviously all my own work. Yeah, I think you've probably got all of those. So there's a lot of examples in the Bible. People who waited a long, long time sometimes, didn't they? For God's perfect timing. So I've done this in 3 sections, like what Kerry told me to do. I mean, Kerry suggested might be a better way of doing my talk. So that's what I've done. Section 1, God keeps his promises. Now, absolutely, I know that's true in my life. The first subtitle, Choose to Believe. And I think that is actually a choice we make sometimes. It's not always easy to believe, is it? Partly God's ways are not our ways. It says in Isaiah, my thoughts are not always your thoughts. Sometimes we miss the solution, or certainly I do, because it wasn't what I was expecting the solution to be. And I've sometimes realized a lot later that God has kept his promise to me years later. Maybe I'd forgotten it, forgotten I'd even asked for that, but actually he never, ever forgets. And he's actually been good on all those promises. Okay, here's a question. Hands up if you believe Australia exists. I'd be surprised if nobody did. Okay, we all believe that. So do I. I've never actually been to Australia. I've heard people's stories about it, and I've heard lots of things about it. I've known people who've been there. So I've chosen to believe Australia exists. Maybe one day I'll find out for myself. Technically, I've had more experience of the goodness of God than I have of Australia. So it kind of makes sense to me to believe in the goodness of God. I've also heard a lot of people's stories about what God's done for them. Really, you know, we hear about miracles, signs and wonders, but actually it's often the goodness in our hearts and our own lives that make the difference, isn't it? So yeah, I've chosen to believe what I believe in my life. I'm still believing in Australia too, for the record. But I think it is a choice we make, isn't it, guys? We have that choice. Wait a minute, that's not it. I'm no good on this. Right. Oh, expect the unexpected, which I just did, expect the unexpected on the slides. Sometimes God provides answers to our prayers in very surprising and creative ways, like my check for 350 for the gas board was a good example of that. Across my life, I've had so many times when that's happened. Certainly, we've lived for a long time without a lot of money, and I don't know how, against all odds, we're still in the same house. I've managed to keep that, the mortgage, way above what I was earning, basically. God is good, and across the years, some of you people in this very congregation have been amazing in supporting me across some quite dark years, especially Steve and Fiona over there, my daughters over there, Pat Hunt, Jean Whiffen, Amanda and Mavis, there's so many of you guys that have been with me on the whole journey. My jobs across the years have, it was kind of fluke. I went into nursing. It wasn't what I intended to do, but it's actually kept a roof over our heads. So even back then, God was already looking after us. Bizarrely, I've learned to drive and did 2 degrees after I was 50. So like that Nick Skelton, I was a bit of a late developer there. Unexpected income across the years. I've had money from eBay, money from drama teaching, which is another, I did a drama at college and that's what I thought my career would be. Ended up years later supplementing my nursing income that helped keep the roof over our heads. So you never know with God, do you, the creative ways he's going to do it. So, yeah, I'm sure there's lots of biblical examples and lots of examples in your own lives of unexpected ways God solves our issues, which brings me to the next one. Don't sneak in and steal. We spoke about Abraham earlier. Abraham, at the age of 99... God told him to count the stars and the skies. And he's like, there's too many to count. And God, yeah, you're right, Abraham. And your descendants will be more than the stars in the sky. And Abraham, I think, laughed at that point. He was like, I'm 99. I have no children. This is a kind of a strange promise. And his wife, Sarah, was 90 at the time. So Abraham did a bit of a sneak in and steal the promise back from God and thought he'd solve it for himself. He believed the promise, but did try and solve it. And I'm a bit guilty of that. I'm sure some of us are. And he lay with his wife's serving maid, Hagar, and they had a son called Ishmael. So that was Abraham's solution. However, God had promised and God carried through his promise. And Sarah, who was 90 years old, did have a baby called Isaac. And in fact, she appears in the Guinness Book of Record as reportedly the oldest lady to ever have a child. So there you go. So God did keep the promise the way God said he would. And he interestingly still blessed Ishmael and Ishmael's descendants. He didn't reject Abraham's version of it either. So sometimes we do that. We sort things out and try and do it ourselves. And we get a bit frustrated about waiting, don't we? I waited quite a few years for new windows and doors, but I've got them this year. Thank you, Sid Dillon, for sorting that out. And that was another check in the post that caused that one to happen. So, you know, sometimes we have to wait longer than we meant to. Sometimes we listen to other people's opinions, I think. And sometimes we feel judged or embarrassed because things are not working out the way other people or ourselves expect it to be. And sometimes I think we have our own limits in life. We limit our own vision. Try to explain. If you look out over horizon on the seaside, what you see is the horizon. But does the horizon exist? Actually, technically, no. It's the limit of our own vision. If we were in a helicopter, that horizon would change, wouldn't it? If we were in space, that horizon would be different again. If we're God, there are no horizons. And sometimes as people, we limit our own view, we limit our horizons, and we don't necessarily see it the way God sees it. So try and avoid sneaking in and stealing it back from God, and he will come good. In the end, he will come good. The final point on this one, power in trust. And there is an amazing power in trusting God to keep his promises. Time and again through the Bible, we see those promises kept, don't we? And sometimes we need to let go and let God, which I'm quoting the AA there, but it's a very, very good quote. Let go and let God, because our solution is not really as good as God's, guys. And sometimes God's version of soon is not always my version of soon. If you imagine a carnival, I'm stealing this from somebody who once said this in a talk and I can't find out who it was. I've asked a couple of people. Somebody will probably own up in a minute. If you were watching a carnival go past, standing in the crowd, you see all the floats, don't you? All of them go past and you're standing in this view. If you were in the BBC helicopter above, you would see the entire carnival from start to finish. Now, you're in the same time scale, both of you, but one version of the view is different to another. And I think, in a way, that's God's version of how he sees time. We kind of seen it linear. We only see the float that's going past. God has the bigger picture. God actually does have the perfect timing. He understands which bit of the carnival we're seeing and where that fits with the rest of the carnival. So power and trust, really. Let God do it, guys. And I love this one. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. God, who cannot lie. Now, assuming that he cannot lie, then all those promises in the Bible are true. All those promises over our lives are true. God cannot lie. Ergo, it must be true. So my next heading here, heading two, is faith through relationship. Kind of following on from the last bit, trusting God knows better than we do. The deeper issue, really, of God keeps his promises. We've heard from that Titus verse, God cannot lie to us. But I think there's a deeper thing in trusting the character of God in that, knowing the goodness of God. If you like the New Testament, God through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit, that real character of God who absolutely wants the best for us. And we can trust that. We can trust the character of God and the fact that he knows better than us. He actually solved the issues of the world, which was going badly wrong, with his sacrificing his own son, Jesus. And Jesus came down as God, part of the Trinity, and I'm not going to try and explain the Trinity. although, no, this is a sideways story, nothing to do with the talk. I did once have the Jehovah's Witnesses on the doorstep. I said something about the Trinity, and they went, well, you can't have three things, that's one thing. And I happened to be wearing, you know, the Russian wedding rings? Three different rings that make one ring. So I just took this off and held it up, and he went, oh, well, that's one ring, but it's three rings. I went, yes, but anyway, so there you are. It's the nearest I'm coming to explaining the Trinity. So, yeah, Jesus came down, and through the sacrifice of his own son and that commitment and love for us, and then sending after Jesus went back with God, the Holy Spirit, directly to work through us on earth and to change ourselves first and the world through us in that order. Kind of seems a frail plan, doesn't it, for an almighty God to say, I'm going to use each individual person. Basically, when Jesus died, there were the few people that were left behind that had heard his story, that spread that love and spread that through person to person to person, change the world through each person by relationship, essentially. And interestingly, we had Amazing Grace there. And that was one of the key songs that changed people's thinking at the time about slave trade. And a lot of Christians over the year have been responsible for changing the world in that way as well, in a bigger way, through that relationship with God. For me, probably the biggest, deepest thing that changed my relationship directly with God was 20-plus years ago. A man called Graham Cook was talking at the church, amazing prophetic guy. And I went forward for prayer about something completely different, but he said to me, get an exercise book. And at that point, I thought he was telling me to exercise. But no, he meant, like, literally a journaling, writing down. And his advice was, write down for yourself just the good things that you think God's saying to you. So it's kind of, you know, it's not word for word, this is God's word. It's prayer. It's how I pray, basically. And that has completely transformed me over the years, transformed my self-esteem, my character, my communication with God has changed because of that. And I just call it my book. Girls will know I sit and write it. And that, for me, it's now the easiest way to pray to God. So in it for the long haul, certainly true. I can remember standing as an altar boy in the, altar girl, Church of England, back when I was about 15, I think. And I remember as a 15-year-old feeling quite strongly and thinking, I don't know if what I believe will survive through my life regardless of what's thrown at me. And at that point, my life was pretty straightforward and pretty simple. And life's thrown quite a lot at me, actually. And at 55, 40 years later, I can stand here and say, yes, I still do believe it, and I believe it more. And it's actually been the mainstay of my life, actually. I've had loads of dark times, but I've also had incredible, incredible blessings. I had a somewhat difficult marriage to an alcoholic, destroyed my confidence, fear, bereavement. I lost my mum, my dad, and my brother. And lack of finance, that's an ongoing one. Single parenting, amazing children. And at times, I did find it difficult to communicate with God, to hear God, to actually feel much at all, to be honest. And I guess that's part of being in the long haul. I didn't ever, thank God, literally stop believing. But do you know what? I did stop hoping sometimes. And I did live under quite a lot of darkness and fear sometimes. And I remember once walking along in a really dark time saying to God, you said you'd never put us through more than we could cope with. I haven't got the reference for that. There is a verse that goes with that. Anybody? For Corinthians, thank you. And I actually challenged God on that. I said, this is it. I can't do this any longer. And within that week, everything changed. And actually, at that point, that's when my ex-husband went into an alcohol rehab unit. And things did begin to change. And it wasn't better like that, but that was the point where God knew I'd had enough, I guess, and he took that challenge. So improving with practice. I've said about how I find it easier with my book to talk to God. Initially, when I used to sit and do my journaling, I had to be in total silence with the worship music on, and really, now I could kind of do it on a train here, wherever, because I've practiced that over the years. And throughout my life, really, anything we do, isn't it? Let's be honest. Some of you may know I do the prophetic painting at the front in the worship. Well, I was never taught to paint. I can't paint. That was the Wiccans brought that back from Bethel. And I was like, okay, God, I'll have a go. And as Andy Boltwood did an amazing talk last week where she said, give it a try. And I was like, okay, I'm excited about this. Let's have a go. So essentially God taught me to paint. It's still not brilliant, but actually what we're trying to do is not get a great work of art, it's getting God's message across. So it doesn't have to be brilliant, does it? If you are a child playing the recorder, playing Greensleeves, say, is, you know, there might be a few mistakes, but it's recognisably Greensleeves, isn't it? It's the right tune. It may sound an awful lot better with a full orchestra playing Greensleeves, a lot better, but actually the tune's the same. So whether we're really practiced at hearing God and translating God for somebody, or whether we're really inexperienced at it, and in my experience, some of the best people at hearing God and translating that for us are actually the children. I've been so privileged. The most privileged thing I've done in this church is working with children, running holiday weeks, because we learn so much for them. It's less complicated. It's straightforward. It's like that green sleeves on the recorder. Actually, all you hear is the tune. You don't necessarily notice the drums and all the other things that you do in an orchestra. You just get the tune. Well, I just thought of that. So maybe that's even better. So I'm standing here today because I was asked to do it. And I was like, my initial reaction was, I don't want to do that. But actually, well, I'll give it a go. You know, I trust to the wisdom of the people that have asked that they might be praying about it and have an answer. So yes, I'm willing to do it. And I think we need to be willing to do that and willing to give it a go, really. And power in communication. There is amazing power in the communication and relationship with God. Certainly for me, the more I'm connected to God, and let's be honest, there's times when I don't, you know, we don't bother going to church, we don't bother praying, we don't. God is actually always there. He's the other end of the mobile phone, isn't he? We might be like waving across the field, which isn't a great way of communicating when the other person's got a mobile phone. We're in the busy day. Oh, hello, God. I'm just, you know, or a bit of semaphore. and then look the other way. But actually, all we needed to do was pick up the mobile phone, and God's on the other end anyway. He's always there. It's me that doesn't always listen, and me that doesn't always bother. And I don't know why, because life's always better when I do. It's always better. It's always easier when I do. So I have no answer to that. Why don't I? I don't know. Practice. Yes, you see? Take my own advice. See, I can give it out, but I can't do it. Yeah, practice. We just need to practice, don't we? We need to listen to God. We need to believe God. We need to trust God, as we said before, I guess. And in relationship with people, you learn more about them, don't you? In human terms, the more we ask questions, the more we talk to somebody, the better we're going to know them. If we sat across the room and waved at them, I swim on a Sunday morning sometimes, and there's a really lovely lady that we smile all the time. I don't think I've ever spoken to her, so it's not really a relationship with that lady, is it? But, you know, so yes, you can go the next step. We can always do that with God. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I have always, always loved that verse. I know the plans I have for you, and plans to prosper, not to harm you. And sometimes it doesn't feel like that, does it? Sometimes we don't feel that God's with us through all of this. So it brings me to my final section. Fulfilled or unfulfilled? The first word, promises, and we've had a lot. I love how it all comes together, by the way, with the worship, the things that everybody was saying that came up, the examples they gave. And best of all, Morecambe and Wise at the beginning, which you would have had no idea. I remember, that's how old I am, I remember that when it was very first shown, and my dad falling around laughing, absolutely laughing at that. And ever since then, I've worked with people with dementia. So in Reminiscence, we use Morecambe and Wise a lot. So that was really tying up my life, which is quite interesting. And they are probably two of the best timing in the world for comedians, aren't they? Phenomenal men. Anyway, so I love how God ties it all together. So there you are, promises. We've talked about the absolute promises in the Bible. And in one sense, it's easy to believe those, not necessarily to translate them to our own lives, but easy to believe them. And we know, we've said already, God cannot lie, so he can't let us down on those promises. Sometimes, though, I think it's the personal promises in our own lives that are harder to hang on to and stay believing in. Again, I've been looking back through my books, looking at things I've written across the years, and it's really interesting how at the time of writing it, my solution wouldn't have been the way it turned out. And absolutely what God's saying is, I'll look after you, I'll look after your girls, it'll all be great, they'll be wonderful, and everything will be all right. And that's actually how it's turned out. Not necessarily the way I expected it to turn out. This wasn't the future I expected. But you see, that was my solution. That wasn't God's solution, was it? So there may be promises, I'm sure, are prophecies, maybe prayers, maybe things people have spoken over us, maybe things we just know in our hearts over the years. Absolute promises from God. And I've seen some people's promises come through so quickly. You see prophecies and, you know, within a year everything's changed and you see people's lives and you can see that. Others take a long, long time. There's still a lot of promises and words that haven't happened in my life. And I'm still waiting for, and that's fine, isn't it? I remember actually one New Year's morning writing in my journal, and God was saying, it was, I don't know when, it was a few years ago, quite a few years ago, God saying to me, the battle is won and the victory is yours. And I thought, that's amazingly strong, isn't it? There was still, but then he said, like the ancient Trojan Wars, the victory was won, but you then had quite a long journey to get back to your own country to declare that victory. And that course itself could be hazardous. That could take a lot of years. And I think where God was coming from with that with me was a kind of, I needed that time of recovery, restoration in my own life and time for those things to come through. But the victory was mine. And that has been true. And I can stand here today and declare that victory. I am restored. I have got the victory. And I thank God for all that he's done in my life. And I thank him for the bad stuff and the good stuff. Because actually, I like where I am today. I like who I am today. And I have just amazing friends and amazing kids. And it's been great. And there was a photo recently. I very rarely go on Facebook, but there was one of me sitting there I'd put on. And somebody at work said, "You have amazing friends, all those positive comments into your life." And I thought, actually, you know, we don't appreciate the things we've got sometimes, do we? I do have amazing friends and amazing people speaking into my life. So, dreams and hopes. This may be a little bit harder. I think for some people, the dreams and hopes is where faith begins sometimes. And for others, it may be where faith ends. Because unfulfilled dreams and hopes for ourselves or for other people in our lives can be very painful and destructive. And actually picking apart what God's absolute promises are and what our dreams and hopes or our translation of that may be can be where that pain gap comes. How we've seen things, you know, should be and they're not. Hopes and dreams, don't get me wrong, they're amazing. We have a God with whom you're never too old. It's never too late. Like Abraham, this guy in the Olympics, me learning to drive at 50, which I always wanted to. That was more of a hope and a dream than a promise. Those things are great, and keep on dreaming. You know, I've still got unfulfilled hopes and dreams. I write, like fiction write, and I've always wanted to get a book published, never really done anything about it. That's just a hope and a dream. That isn't some promise from God. That's what I'd like to do. Who knows if I'll ever get there? And it doesn't matter in one sense. However, hopes and dreams of what may be or what no longer can be, because circumstances might have changed those things, they are very hard. And certainly in my life, the times which I alluded to earlier a little bit, the loss of hope is a very dangerous thing. And I think very close to where you're getting into losing faith and bitterness coming in. And the beginning sometimes of quite a destructive path not to have hope in your life. And that is a hard thing to hang on to. And how do we change that? How do we prevent that? Well, there isn't an easy answer, but leading into changing your thinking. And I think it is to do with, and Andy actually in her talk last week kind of alluded to this as well. It is about how we accept things, how we think about things, how we face things. Like in the couple of weeks, a week and a half ago when I went to see Kerry about where I was at on the talk, just happened to have been an interesting week. I had two black eyes bruising all down my face, which is my own fault of climbing in on inflatable things in a lake. But anyway, and my car had died, so I had to walk down to the church office. I remember that week. And the day before, we'd been burgled. Emily and I walked in on three men in the house, burgling, taking all my jewellery at that point. And you know, things bombard you in life sometimes, don't they? And I was like, I just thought, I've got to box this, get on with it, go down and see Kerry. And it is sometimes how you look at that. And obviously, the burglary thing isn't very nice. And I did have a couple of days of, like, especially when I was on my own for the first time in the house, you have to get around that. You have to get your head past that stuff. But actually, in reality, it could have been an awful lot worse. We walked in on them, so all they got to was my room. And actually, I did have some better jewellery somewhere else that they hadn't got into that room. So, you know, my mum's and gran's wedding rings and stuff, I've still got, which is really what matters. It wasn't the greatest jewellery they took. There was some sentimental stuff in there. None of us were hurt. You know, for some reason, it's the fight or flight. Emily and I chased them, which I don't know what we were going to do with three men, but luckily they got away. Turns out, fight, not flight, is my reaction. Now I know. So it's about changing that, isn't it? We were at Kidwell's Park, and we did the prayer place there. Amazing, amazing time. Stephen Fiona ran that at the Maidenhead Festival. And there was a man speaking to Rachel O'Denier and I, and he said, "Yeah, but why has God let the bad things happen in my life?" Now, I didn't have an answer for that. I don't know, to be honest, what his life was or wasn't. But what we tried to show him was that God actually cared for him as a person, that the relationship with God was where he'd break through with that. And his next question was, well, why doesn't he just come in and sort it out for me? Now, I don't remember what we prayed or answered him at the time, but that got me thinking over the next couple of days. And I was thinking, well, yes, if we're saying God is our Father, he's seeking a relationship with us as our dad. Well, it would look pretty odd if we were still changing nappies and bottle feeding our teenagers, because you expect your children to learn and develop, don't you? You expect your child to move on and to train and to learn. You shouldn't still need to be bottle feeding and nappy changing your teenager. And if your child is 2 years old and you put them on skis on a mountain, they broke your leg. Certainly people would say, what were the parents thinking? Why are you letting a 2 year old on skis? If your 30 year old breaks their leg skiing on a slope, you wouldn't say, what were the parents thinking letting your 30 year old go skiing, would you? You'd say, what's the matter with them? Why are they, you know, you wouldn't do that. So we do need to think and we do need to change our perception. Oh, Jenny on a trampoline, but we won't go there. What were you thinking, Jenny, when you did your ACL on a trampoline? It's all your pet. It's my fault. Exactly. I don't think you blamed me for that one, did you? So yes, changing our perspective. You know that kind of life of Brian. What have the Romans ever done for us? Well, you know, what's God ever done for us? Well, actually, turn that one around. Let's make it a question. What has God ever done for us? Look at all the blessings. Look at all the good stuff. We are very lucky. The country we live in. Let's be honest. We have roofs over our head. Most of us. We have people around us that care for us, don't we? We have good things, amazing good things. So actually try answering that question. What has God ever done for us? And what about the near misses, the stuff we don't know about, the time you screech to a halt the car in front, the time the bricks fall just after you've walked past a building? Who knows what God's done for us we don't even know about? What has God ever done for us? Quite a lot, let's be honest. So sometimes it's the same question, isn't it? What has God ever done for us? Quite a lot, quite a lot. And it's funny, Jean texted me today, now is your time, was it? There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 6 about now is your time. And this, funnily enough, this links in, because the day of the tent, I was also thinking about that. People say about, you know, now is your time, and you see that. You see seasons in people's lives when they're doing really well and seasons when they're not doing so well. And then I thought, well, okay, if I turn that thinking around to the Father, you don't say with your kids when they're doing well, oh, now's their time. You actually, when their time's bad, when their time's good, when they get it wrong, you just love them through it, don't you? In a sense, it's always your time with God. There's a sense in which he loves you regardless. It doesn't matter, because God's always your Father, always watching over you, always rejoicing when you're happy and sad when you're struggling, actually. So in one sense, every day is our time with God. And in one sense, it always will be. He's never not going to be your Father. You know, the good times, the bad times. So, power in hope. There is amazing power when you keep hoping in God and believing for and seeing the good things. Sometimes that might mean shifting our thinking a bit. And sometimes it's hard, and sometimes you might need other people supporting you, as I've had down the years, praying for you, helping you, or even just reminding you that God's still there when it's dark and you can't kind of find him. Sometimes your brain can know God's there, but your heart can't feel it. But that, just keep strong, really. Says in Hebrews, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. And I just love that. Sure of what we hope for, certain of what we cannot see. And this verse kind of sums up my life here. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. That's just amazing. I remember in my early 40s cycling to work. Not long after my parents had died, my marriage had broken up. We didn't have much money at all. And I was thinking, if this is as good as it gets, and then I thought, actually, if this is as good as it gets, this is pretty darn good. We had good times, did we not? We had fun. We had a good, you know, I had so much that was good. And I thought, if this is as good as it gets, this is great. And that was a bit of a revelation for me in turning my thinking, to be honest. Yeah, good. It could get better. It doesn't matter if it doesn't. This is great. I've had good stuff. And that kind of mental snapshot of my life made me realize how lucky I was and how I have learned a lot working with dementia to live in the moment. Sometimes with dementia, you can't really remember the past. The future's very uncertain. But the moment is worth living. And the moment is always all we've got to live, isn't it? So thank you for listening to me. I would like to pray for people, kind of for that unfulfilled hopes, dreams or promises, or maybe shifting how we hear God, if I may. I don't know whether to do that as a... Actually, I guess we've all got that. Do you know what? I'm not going to do shame. Just close your eyes. I'm going to pray for you all, guys, because we've all got dreams and hopes in our lives. And I'm just going to, looking through the research for this, I found this, which I wrote over 10 years ago in one of my journals. So I am going to speak that over you. It was God's words for me, but they've certainly come true in my life. And then I will pray, if that's okay. Hear my voice again. Sing my song again. Dream my dreams again. Let your vision be clear. Let your heart hear. My words never cease. My heart cry to you is constant. The purity of my love has never been tainted. You have known and loved me. You have understood my heart. Do not be distracted. Do not waver from my path. Do not lose hope. Keep straight. Believe in yourself. Believe in your future. Know that I am here with you, watching and waiting. Know that I am with you and find your peace in me. Lord, I just want to say in the name of Jesus, a real blessing today over everybody in this room. For those past, present and future, Jesus, that's been in your hands and always will be in your hands because you cannot lie. You keep your promises. And I want to pray, Lord, for hopes and dreams that have been dashed, for promises unfulfilled, Lord, that people will find their peace with you, will learn in relationship with you how to cope day to day with life and move forward with you. I pray those dreams be fulfilled, those promises be fulfilled, and for encouraging times ahead for these people. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you.